Whoops, that was bad. Sorry, peoples. I'm out of sorts. I'm not even going to blame Harry Tynowitz. Stand by for the day of the week. Wednesday. See, I got to do that to help everybody, Harry, so they know what day it is, so they know what appointment they have to attend. Like today, I have physical therapy at 3:30. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't have it, so I need to know what's going on.
Sure. I know the feeling. I've got busy, you think you're the only one with busy Wednesday things? I got busy Wednesday things, too.
What do you got? Is it Prince Spaghetti Day for you?
Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day. Anthony!
High five me, pal.
Woo! Jasmine's like, what are you doing?
She's saying, look at Grandma and Grandpa.
Anthony comes running down the street.
Although, now, if I was here with Bill, he knows Anthony's last name, and I don't really remember.
And he knows
Minetti.
And he could tell you, like, it was angel hair spaghetti that night, and it was made in a mushroom meat sauce.
I think it was marinara, and I think it was spaghetti.
Okay, could have been.
All right. Harry Tynowitz is in for Bill Leff. He's much like Bill Leff. You've known each other a really long time. You were the best man in his wedding, weren't you?
Yet she married him.
Or the not so great man, but
right. Bill and I met at college and
at Columbia.
We met at UCLA. We're both on the football team. Yeah, we met at Columbia College. We're both in the theater.
You were on that football team, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that big game we had against DeVry. And the following week we had to play Roosevelt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They don't have a team either.
And the Art Institute team was, boy, they had the best uniform.
ITT?
ITT, man, they had all the great scoreboards.
I don't know the rest of them.
there's a bunch of really good options now for kids. Cocker told me to tell my daughter that the three words she needs to learn as a senior, she's a junior now, are scholarship.
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, Michael should have gone away to school and did like amazing on his ACT. And the school he wanted to go to gave him a mere $3,000 in scholarship money.
$3,000? That's not enough for beer.
It wasn't enough. So junior college it is.
Now, have you seen, I know that you are also a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and we get these copies of the movies, the awards. Screen Actors Guild are voted on by actors, and we get copies of these movies, these like demo copies. Is that what they call them?
Yes, and you're supposed to destroy them after watching them.
That's what I do.
And there's a disclaimer like every 10 minutes.
Yeah, you are watching a copy. But the point of them, they've sent them out so people that haven't, you know, have been too busy, they'll see every picture, they'll see every performance.
And then you can vote fairly.
Right, so I have been watching a bunch of those lately.
I have too.
Okay, have you seen Lady Bird?
I didn't get that either.
Now, well, again, this is...
I don't want the digital downloads.
Wendy, believe me, I was the last guy invited to the technology party. My old producers at that other station up the dial, they used to laugh at me.
Well, I know I'm just supposed to watch it myself. I feel sorry that I let my family watch it with me.
I don't think they'd care if you let your family watch it. But like, there's a bunch of them that have come, you know, and...
Get Out. That was great.
The Big Sick.
I, Tonya. Fantastic.
I just got, yesterday I got Shape of Water. And
The Dark.
And Three Billboards. Haven't gotten The Dark yet.
Oh, wait,
Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
Yes, I got that.
I got that yesterday.
So you just shorten titles.
Yeah, I'm in a hurry.
The Dark.
I can't remember. I can't.
You got three.
I never pay attention to movies again if Bill was here. I mean, I need him for movie talk because he goes frequently. I can't remember. Wonder Woman was the last movie I saw at a theater.
You mean The Wonder?
No, just Wonder.
Okay.
Wonder was the last movie I saw at a theater, and it was like a second run theater. Mm-hmm. So this is like, I'm really trying to do my job, and I had to join AFTRA SAG because AFTRA was American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and I had to pay an initiation fee back in 1983 when I started on the radio. And it was a pretty substantial initiation fee when you go from working at Brookfield Zoo to all of a sudden...
What did you do at Brookfield Zoo?
I was the narrator on the Motor Safari train and the railroad train. Authentic steam engine, yes.
My cousin Robert at Disney World was the Jungle Cruise guide.
I would have loved to do that.
Yeah, that alligator saved his life. You might say he gave him Gatorade.
Woo! Sorry, it's so corny, but it's so perfect when you go with your family. It really is. Everyone groans together.
They're just happy to be seated at that point.
Well, so I had to join AFTRA, and SAG was the Screen Actors Guild, and that was separate. And I did a commercial with one Bill Leff for television. It was just our voices, so not on camera. And I had to join SAG in order to have this happen. Well, they give you one freebie. It's like the Taft-Hartley law or something. Mm-hmm. You get one freebie, and then the next time you're going to do a Screen Actors Guild, a SAG-related commercial, you have to pay the initiation fees and join. So when I got on my second commercial for SAG, I had to pay the initiation dues for SAG and join, and about 4 years later, they merged. So I think I should get my SAG initiation dues back. Because I had to pay for AFTER and SAG, and now they're combined.
Aren't these free screeners worth it, though? Come on.
You know what? They are. All right, I'll shut up. Yeah, but you didn't have to pay twice.
I paid twice because I joined for Screen Actors Guild in 1979.
I was going to ask that. Because I'm a part of the Screen Guild thing, too. And I just got a member last year. And I think my subscription is only like, should I say it on air?
I don't know. You're a member of the Screen Actors Guild. But so you didn't have to pay an initiation fee?
I had to. Well, when I was working at the station before this, I already had one. Like, it came with my membership of being a member.
Like a Happy Meal.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like, it was already included. So it comes out of your check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, $500-$800, something like that. It was when I joined.
It's expensive. But so I was a member of the Screen Actors Guild in 1979, and then at a certain point, the two unions merged. And so then I paid another fee, and now I'm a member. Now radio people, TV people, that movie people.
We're all
people,
coming together. Time's up.
Come together.
Right now.
Right now.
Over Harry. Over my knee.
Right. So... Lady Bird, you know, it's about a senior in high school coming of age movie.
That.
And, I'm telling you, the one I loved was, The Disaster Artist, James Franco.
Yeah, I gotta see that. Did you see The Room, the original movie with Tommy Wiseau?
No, I have not seen it, but they say it's the greatest bad movie ever.
Yeah, that's what I hear, and my 18-year-old saw it. They illegally streamed it somewhere and saw The Room.
Attaboy.
He loved it.
He knows how to illegally screen movies. This is exactly the type of kid a university should want.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He just was with friends, and then they screened that, and then they went and saw The Disaster Artist, and he said you don't need to see The Room to enjoy that. He loved it.
Right. And at the end of it, and it's worth staying for the end of Disaster Artist. I won't say why, but at the
end, there's a bonus.
When the movie ends, stay for the credits. Okay?
All right.
There's a bonus.
You know what? I wish people would tell me that more frequently, because if there is nothing, I'm cool to get out. Sometimes I don't need to see the credits.
You know, when you look at a movie, you know, not nowadays, you know, IMDb, you look at a movie and it tells you a movie is like 2 hours and 17 minutes. It's 2:09 if you leave like when the movie ends.
Right.
You can save yourself 8 minutes.
I like to watch the credits if I'm with my younger son, Dylan, because he wants to be a director someday. So he's one who wants to stay and watch. And if I really love the movie, I like to show my respect by staying. But there are times when, you know, busy, I don't need to see it.
Busy.
But I like to know if there's a bonus coming up.
Well, I'm telling you
right
now.
Well, thank you for telling us.
Sure. There's a bonus comes at the end of that.
And did you like the movie?
I thought Disaster Artist was great, and I'm telling you, I liked, you know, I was a fan of his before I saw him, but James Franco is spectacular in this movie. I mean, he nails the accent, he nails the character, and it is just really, really funny. Dave Franco plays his best friend, the guy he makes the movie with.
Do you know they're 7 years apart?
It's a long time.
That's like me and my sister, me and my brother, and then my sister and I are 9 years apart. And it's pretty sweet that James Franco is all the rage, and he's bringing his little brother along.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
It's awesome. He was on Colbert last night. And I'm a Kimmel guy. I watched Kimmel, but I wanted to watch last night because
I'm so into about that.
James Franco.
Do you have the story about, I don't know if we have any audio or anything, but He, at the end of a good-natured interview on The Late Show last night, Stephen Colbert asked James Franco to address the elephant in the room, which... Now, see, I didn't hear about it till today. But yet, when he was winning the Golden Globes Award, that's when two women and Ally Sheedy, right? Three total?
Well, I knew
tweeted
about,
something.
Right. Ally Sheedy had three separate tweets during the Golden Globe Awards. And James Franco won the Best Actor Award for this movie. We're talking about The Disaster Artist. And Ally Sheedy's first tweet, and I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, but it said something like, you know, I don't want to talk about it or don't ask me, you know.
Here, I have the tweet.
Good.
Because I did my homework like 10 seconds ago.
There you go.
The actress Ally Sheedy tweeted that he was an example of, quote, why I left the film TV business, though she later removed the message. So Mr. Colbert asked for a response on that, which, you know, I don't watch Stephen Colbert at all. I was going to say on a regular basis. I never have made it a habit in my life, but whenever I see a clip, I am amazed at how smart he is, how funny he is, how personable he is, but I still have not made it a habit.
He's very smart. He's very talented. He can sing. He had Carly Simon on there once, and he's a pretty good interviewer. And I feel like that is an advantage that he and Kimmel have. They're very good interviewers. He had Carly Simon on. He goes, well, you know, I used to love the song Mockingbird. Will you sing it with me? And whether or not they had practiced it, they had rehearsed it or not, it really didn't matter because he sounded great. He did, of course, the James Taylor role, and... He was totally into it. You know, his voice was on key. He's really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I like about Colbert, they'll do some little videos before the show starts. Like last night, okay, the national championship game was played Monday night. Alabama beat Georgia in overtime.
Was that football?
Yes, it's football. Really? Really, Wendy?
I really don't have any idea or care.
This is the college championship.
Don't care.
So Trump was at the game.
Great. Oh, is this when he was singing the anthem?
And didn't know the words.
He knew the words. You know what? I never defend Donald Trump, but I am going to on this. He knew the words enough. It's just he mouthed the ones he knew for sure. He knew he was being televised. He didn't want to screw up because he's scrutinized all the time. He know the words.
Okay, now hold on. You just said two things. If I'm an attorney, if I'm the district attorney here, if I'm Stephanie March, you said he knew the words enough and he mouthed certain words because he didn't want to screw up the ones he didn't know. That's not knowing the words. Like, the only reason I wouldn't sing the national anthem is because I sound like Bob Dylan if a yak kicked him in the,
Bob Dylan.
I love him too. But that's the only guy I can sing. Like, Tom Petty a little bit. You know, Tom Petty's got like that Dylan nasality going on certain songs. And Dylan has that nasality going all the time. But Trump, if you watch it, he's mouthing the wrong words.
And he was not. He was not. And, I was watching.
Okay,
it's just some were more orchestrated than others.
And so what you need to do is you need to...
was there audio?
Google. No, but you can YouTube or Google.
I did. I watched it.
The Colbert thing I'm talking about.
Okay, sorry.
Colbert did, they said that the premise was, hey, we had sound, we had a microphone, and they transcripted the words for you.
And then you could see how it didn't match?
It was all fake words.
Oh, okay.
They went for...
That's really funny.
It's right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's like often my favorite thing about the Colbert show will be the quick video they do before the show ever starts. What drives me and my friends crazy is when Colbert comes out and high fives everybody, you know. Like,
why does that drive you crazy?
I don't know. Just what are you doing? You're high fiving people. You're brilliant. You're funny. Just do your monologue. And I love Seth Meyers because he has, you know, gone to the desk for like the last year and a half. He just starts the show at the desk where he was on Weekend Update.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't feel like you have to stand up and perform.
Especially for Seth, who we fell in love with. Behind a desk, right. So Colbert and Seth Meyers, what do they have in common? Both went to?
Northwestern.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Well, when Mr. Colbert asked for a response after Ally Sheedy tweeted this, here's an example of why I left the film and TV business. Mr. Franco focused on the broader movement for gender equality and denied any suggestion that he had acted improperly. He said this. First of all, I have no idea what I did to Ally Sheedy, he said. I directed her in a play off Broadway. I had nothing but a great time with her, total respect for her. I have no idea why she was upset. He added, the things that I heard that were on Twitter are not accurate, but I completely support people coming out and being able to have a voice. God, that is... See, I don't know what to do because I don't want to victim blame, and I really do want to believe people who have been affected. But then... In this day and age, when anyone can say, me too,
right.
I don't doubt them, but I'm curious as to, is this someone who just has a bone to pick with someone and wants to besmirch their name? I don't think I've ever used the word besmirch before, but I'm glad I did. Is this something for people to besmirch his name, or did this abuse really happen?
I don't know. And Colbert asked him before that, he took some flack for wearing the Me Too pin. And he asked him about that, so I think that's why it was on his mind. And, I'm a big fan of James Franco. I was a big fan of Kevin Spacey. I no longer am. And, I thought it was great Colbert asked him about it. It just happened. And, you know, he didn't, like, wasn't too afraid to ask him. And I'm glad that Franco addressed it like he did. He just watching it, it seemed, he is an actor, but he seemed very... Very sincere.
He did seem very sincere, and I will tell you that I am surprised what a great actor he is. I watched him in Freaks and Geeks, loved him with Seth Rogen, and I love Seth Rogen. He's my secret crush. It's not even a secret because I tell everyone I have such a crush on him. I don't really know why, but he just...
Because he's funny.
He is funny. He's lovable. He's not that great of an actor, I got to tell you. But I loved Freaks and Geeks, and James Franco is really an amazing actor. And I hope he wasn't acting when he was saying, hey, listen, if they feel that I did something to them, I want to make this right. And I am, you know, glad they're saying something and coming out, and time is up. This is the time. His answer was perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
So will we find out?
We're finding out a whole lot of stuff. So it was good that you, don't have all the facts. We don't have all the facts, so I'm glad we didn't besmirch his name.
Isn't it fun to say besmirch?
It is.
All right. We will not besmirch the name of one Ryan Burrow, who will be doing news with us next, but we have to take a break first. It's Harry Tynowitz in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. You're sitting in for Judy Pylak. Yesterday we found out, or 2 days ago, that you are doing Girl Scout cookies, correct?
Yes, I am your Girl Scout cookie hookup. It's all right. Part of the cookie mafia that's going on.
I don't like to buy. Sometimes you see the girls like out in front of Walgreens or the Jewel or something, and I usually will buy a couple of boxes. Mm-hmm. But now I would like to just buy 4 boxes from you. I'll give you $20.
Okay.
I like the shortbread ones and the peanut butters. Got to throw a thin mint in there.
It's got the thin mint.
Sure.
And
you throw those in the freezer?
My husband does.
You
I don't.
Them in the freezer. All of a sudden, you find a little surprise back there in May. You're like, ooh.
May.
All right. May. What I found behind the ice cream. Fantastic.
May. What do you think we did for Thanksgiving dessert?
But now, my kids are not really athletes, although they did do Shotokan karate when they were younger. And I got to admit, they were pretty good. I did Shotokan karate as well. I was an orange belt before my knees started giving out. And we had to, at a tournament, buy like a giant box of M&Ms to sell.
Sure.
And I never wanted to bother our neighbors or people at work. So I just spent the $50 and would keep the box of M&Ms at home. And, you know, every once in a while, I'd grab
a
box and eat it.
A, you don't have to bother them. And B,
right.
You get the M&Ms.
Right, which
win-win,
is a win-win.
Right? Yeah.
But a lot of people... send their kids to houses to I don't want them coming to my house every minute. So, well, can I just buy from your daughter?
Yeah, I like how she's saying this, by the way, while she's waving
$20
in front of our face. Yes, I will get you on the list. The cookies are coming.
I think more of the Girl Scouts that are going door to door than the ones who just, you know, sit down in front of a grocery store and go for the foot traffic.
Plus, don't you feel guilty though? It's hard to turn down a Girl Scout.
I don't feel like people do the door-to-door stuff as much anymore, and I think that online helps. My wife posted on Facebook, hey, my daughter Trinity is selling.
Cheating.
Cheating. That is cheating. That's
yeah, but all of a sudden,
it.
Everyone's like, put me in for 3 boxes, put me in for 4 boxes, and these are people who aren't in our neighborhood, but they may work with my wife, they may work with me, they may be relatives.
Does she win something if she sells a certain number of boxes?
She wants to get this owl notebook or something.
Oh, my God, they should give you a laptop notebook or something instead of just a patch.
Now, a couple things. We still get people that come by our house, and I will buy the most from the kids in our neighborhood that come by and knock on the door. And some kids, it was so cold last year, and two different girls knocked on our door the same day. I felt so guilty, and I'm like, yeah, we'll buy. I got in trouble like 20 years ago because on the radio, I was selling to everybody at a different station. We'll just call them the
Loop. For who, your daughter?
Yeah. No, I was selling them for Lef.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you were doing. That's why
I asked. No, I was selling for my niece, actually, at this point.
Okay, see, it wasn't your daughter, was it?
My daughter's 17. My pants are smart. They graduated from Harvard. But my niece was selling Girl Scout cookies, and she lived in Glencoe. And so I got Bonaducci to buy a bunch of Girl Scout cookies, and I didn't know the prices were different for different towns.
They are?
And the Glencoe, cookies were more expensive. And people were accusing me.
I have my Glencoe cookies. So my Dosey Does are more than yours.
It's those Lake County taxes is what it is right there.
It's Dosey Doe. And so people are accusing me of like trying to shake down, Danny and the people, the great.
Well, you always try to shake down Danny when you get the chance.
Well, you usually find stuff coming out of his pockets when you shake him down.
Right.
But, I didn't realize that they were priced differently. But
they're not now, are they?
No, $5 each. That's for every box.
Good value.
There you go.
No, last year there was a story about some very smart girl who set up outside a legal weed distillery.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, they should go door to door.
They're getting smarter too about it. I noticed that they're starting to package some of these in cereal forms. We're not selling those right now, but if you go to I think Jewel's got like the Thin Mint.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
Cereal you can get. They've got ice cream flavors. So
can I just tell everyone in marketing a little something? Sometimes you push it too far.
You don't know how far you pushed it until you pushed it too far.
I guess there's a fine line
Steak
there.
Steak and Shake has breakfast cereal shakes. Burger King also has breakfast cereal shakes.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't like things floating in my shake. God love Portillo's. I love their chocolate cake, and I like their shakes.
But
I don't like the chocolate cake in my shake.
There are some brands out there that really push the envelope. Sonic. Sonic's always got some kind of weird flavor stuff going on. They mix all these different things together. I think they only last for a couple months, test them out. And then
there is nothing like a Sonic burger, and there is not one near us. But when we were in Nashville, that was like just kind of an easy, let's go to Sonic.
Sure.
In fact, we got sick of it. We went so much.
There's one now. I was going to say, because my son and I would always see the commercials, and I would think like...
It's not here.
And I would say, Reggie, don't these two guys have jobs? That was like our joke. They just sit around the parking lot all day. Don't these guys, two guys, have jobs? And then eventually Reggie said, Dad, are you gonna go to Sonic today? All right, Reggie, thanks, really funny. But there's a Sonic now by Wrigley Field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But Taco Bell goes away.
Is it owned by the Ricketts family?
It's probably. It's not that close, but it's like 6 blocks north or 10 blocks north. There's a Sonic there. That's the first place that I saw it nearby because I always thought the same thing. I would have to get it when I was on a college football trip or something like that. But yeah, Sonic's got giant shakes and stuff like that. Portillo's chocolate shake is so good.
It is, but I don't like my chocolate cake shake.
Right.
I don't want them mixed.
The cake is even better. The cake is the best thing in Portillo. As great as their hot dogs and beef sandwiches are, the cake is the best thing in Portillo.
I'd rather go beef and hot dogs.
That one actor in that Sonic commercial, he acts quite frequently, and he is one of the most foul-mouthed guys in that show, Veep, that you could ever run into. The dark-haired one. Yeah. It's funny to watch him because he's been pushing Sonic smoothies or whatever it is they have.
Yeah.
And it turns out, he just every other word is this and that. I mean, that's how the show's written, but it's just hard to see him like that. It's like when you watch Full House and then hear Bob Saget go do stand-up.
That's exactly it. We were also hearing in your news about something that's going on in Indiana about they're going to change the law that you can't buy.
They've been trying this for years, right?
Because how long have you not been able to buy alcohol
in
Indiana on Sunday?
I don't think you ever have.
I don't know. I'm always out of Indiana by
Sunday. Why? Can I just ask? Is it a religious thing?
It is still a very, very conservative state. I mean, it has been for a long time, and that may be playing a role in it. I do think, too, we've seen this happen in other industries, the auto industry for one. A lot of these liquor stores don't want to have to pay to keep someone on staff for Sunday because they don't feel like they're going to get much back in return. But the grocery stores love it because the grocery stores, they've got you in already buying your groceries. So they would love to sell.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a battle going on between the grocery stores and the liquor stores.
I would think Sunday would be one of the most popular days for a liquor store.
Well, they said some of these
stocking
lawmakers
up for
say
the week.
It is the
stocking
second
up for the games.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you got all those Colts fans, right? Or Bears fans.
I know in Illinois, and we've heard several reasons why car dealers are not open on Sundays, and it started because some of them were, and they thought that somebody had an advantage, so then there was some law that you couldn't do it. Well, first of all, that is the best day to buy a car for me because everyone works during the week. By the time you get a husband and wife together to go in there, and you know, I'm the one who likes to haggle, not Jim, that's a perfect day to do it. I always have a taste for Chick-fil-A on Sunday when it's not open. I like to get my crafting on by going to Hobby Lobby on Sunday. Sure. They're not open.
That one might be more. Those two,
they're
Hobby
religious.
Lobby might be religious. Yeah, because they have the family spend
Chick-fil-A
time.
Chick-fil-A is religious, right?
And good for
Chick-fil-A
them. Well. If they feel like, you know, Sunday is a day where you should be with your family, that's cool. I'd like to work for them because then you get Sundays off all the time.
Right. There's one car dealership that's like grandfathered in.
Who?
There's,
no, there isn't.
There's one.
There is not.
I will Google it.
Bob Roorman?
I didn't say Bob Roorman.
I saw him getting coffee a couple days ago. Yeah, you know, it's weird when you don't see him in the commercial. He's just
a regular guy.
Please
tell me you were at Starbucks and they asked him what his name was. And he said, Bob Roorman.
Nope.
That would be weird for me not seeing him all.
He's, at 5 in the morning,
up.
I'm on that train and he occasionally pops in there.
Really? Yeah. Tell him I said hi.
Yeah, we'll do.
Bob, where will you be sitting in the store? I'll be in the corner.
All right, what do you know the name of the
no, I don't know. I'm not like in cahoots with them. I don't have like a deal, but I'm telling
there's no
you,
car dealers they can't it's illegal
if
in Illinois.
Only we had an executive producer on the show that could help me look this up. I will check.
Jasmine,
Jazzy.
He just slammed you. Make sure he never calls in for Bill again.
Whatever you do, don't look up and see if Bob Burrow of Bob Burrow Chevrolet had anything to do with how this occurred.
Why are you
on
saying
Sundays.
That Now you gotta say it.
My grandfather was, according to my dad, a big reason for the way it is right
really?
Now.
Really?
Yeah, he was the head of the, was it the Illinois Automobile Association?
Yeah.
I don't know, one of those right there. And yeah, they pushed it pretty hard, and for the most part it was, you know, whether or not they wanted to pay guys on Saturday or on Sundays to do this. And, you know, the financing issue also comes up, because you gotta get people approved for loans, and I don't know
that's true.
Able they are to do that. I'm sure you've got plenty of listeners who weigh in on that one way or another.
You know, that's a good point, because you do like to find out right away. Now, I wonder if your grandfather, what was his name?
Bob Burrow.
Bob Burrow.
Bob Burrow Chevrolet in Barrington. My grandma still owns the building.
Because I have to see, perhaps he knows my father-in-law from McInerney.
Well, he's gone. Grandfather's gone.
Well, McInerney Chevrolet was very popular in, God, I don't remember
Hell
where
yeah.
it was. But I guess I could ask my father-in-law when they stopped selling cars on Sundays, because I would think that is the best time to purchase a car.
It's the best time to go and look at cars while you weave through and jump over the blocked gates, right? How many times do you see people pulled off to the side of the road walking through the car dealership looking at those so that they don't get hassled, right, by the dealer and the seller?
All right. According to a Chicago Tribune editorial that took place a couple of years ago, May 15th, 2015, for just a moment, the editorial board, which Eric Zorn is part of, and I believe Kristen McQueary as well, for just a moment, it looked like there was a move afoot in the General Assembly to allow auto dealers in Illinois to sell cars on Sundays. Now it's as dead as your car is when you leave the lights on all night. Great writing. The measure sponsored by Senator Jim Oberweis in Sugar Grove wouldn't require the dealerships to open on Sundays. It would simply allow them to open. To put it in another day, it would, or in another way, it would allow competition. Sunday car sales have been banned in Illinois since 1984, Harry.
I'm telling you, there's one.
No, there isn't.
And I was just looking for Jasmine. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, nail her on this. I'm not great at finding things instantaneously, but somebody still sells cars on Sunday.
It has been banned in Illinois since 1984, thanks to Bob Burrow.
There's one guy.
Ryan's grandfather.
And is that the same day Oberweis instituted the law that milkshakes must cost at least $11?
Many dealers wanted to be able to take the day off, but they didn't want to lose business to other dealers. They solved the problem by persuading the General Assembly to make their competitors take the day off, too. Now, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
It took more than three decades to do this. Governor Adlai Stevenson vetoed a bill in 1951, saying it was probably unconstitutional. Governor William Stratton vetoed another one in 1957 for the same reason. Governor Otto Kerner signed a Sunday sales ban.
Him I've heard of.
In 1961. Wasn't he on Hogan's Heroes?
Yes, Schroeder. Yes, he was. Colonel Klink.
Okay. He signed a Sunday sales ban in 1961, but the state Supreme Court struck it down. After the current law was signed by Governor James Thompson in 1982, a handful of dealers challenged it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The dealers lost, so did you. So Sunday would be a great day to buy a car, don't you think? A car isn't a grab-and-go purchase like a gallon of milk. It's not the sort of purchase you can research online and then go pick up like a lawnmower. Yes, it is. I've done that.
I'm going to run out. I'm going to get a dozen eggs and a Hyundai.
No, but if you're looking to buy a car, you can go online and see what you want, see what the inventory is. And we did that, and then we went to Continental Toyota and bought our Highlander.
How long were you in the facility?
A couple hours because they ran the financing through. But they're saying that auto shoppers want to kick the tires. Never did that in my life. And you look foolish if you do.
I would like to see someone kick the tire and then see the actual tire deflate.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It. Yeah.
And see the tire kick back.
Right.
You like to check out the interior, compare colors and models of the same car, take a test drive. That you would definitely want to do. But you can certainly shop online, decide what you want, and then say, hey, let's go test drive it.
And that's why prices are better for consumers now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much action is, taken out of the game. Car dealers can't say, I'm giving away the store here because the consumer knows, well, actually, I did my homework, and I can go to this dealer or this dealer and get a better price.
All right. Besides Illinois, Harry and Ryan, there are 17 states that ban or restrict car sales on Sunday. Rhode Island limits hours to noon to 6, for example. Michigan allows Sunday sales in counties with a population of less than $130,000. These rules are willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
They have a great deal on a Chevy Tahoe, willy-nilly Chevy, by the way. North Dakota allows dealerships to open on Sunday but not to make sales. Then why bother?
Yeah, Jonathan Taves went to college in North Dakota.
Relevant how? Mr. Sports?
You brought up North Dakota.
When's your show with Carm on Saturday?
Saturday 4-7. You want me to save it for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you want to go full circle on this one? I just looked up the states where alcohol is not for sale on Sundays.
All right,
so
go.
Indiana is the only one that bans beer, wine, and liquor on Sundays, but spirits are banned in Alabama, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia.
Can I ask a stupid question? And I'm sorry, because I've been drinking a long time.
Uh-huh.
What's the spirit?
It's the hard alcohol. It's liquor.
Why don't they just say liquor, then?
That's just what it says.
That's what they say. That's what they say. But Utah, isn't Utah, some parts of Utah, liquor's banned?
Yeah. I mean, there are parts of Tennessee. That's what's interesting. I mean, you get bourbon country down there in Kentucky. You get whiskey country in Tennessee. And some of these places, you'll go and you'll take the tour, and they'll show you how the whiskey and bourbon are made. And you know what? They can't sell it to you because it's a dry county. You got to go to the county over to buy it.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Not fair. We were young, and my family took a trip to San Juan. How cool is that? We got to go to Puerto Rico, and we took a tour of the Bacardi plant. And my mom doesn't drink, and none of the kids were old enough. Like, what's the point?
Well, were you interested in it?
No, but I did. Like, years later, I found the Pabst Blue Ribbon Tour in Milwaukee. And let me tell you, I took that tour like 40 or 50 times.
We went to Busch Gardens when I was under 21, for sure. And they offered a little bit of Busch beer at the end.
Really?
And my mom snuck one for me and let me have a sip.
A lot of these places have sodas now for the kids that they package.
You don't have to go as far as Busch Gardens for something like that. There's actually a place now called Greek Town.
I don't want ouzo. That's not good for an under 21er.
It's like licorice.
It's like high school theater parties, you know? Hey, we're going to Hackney's. I love Hackney's. We're going to Hackney's. I love Hackney's. Hey, we're going to Greek Town. Okay. See you later, Hackney's.
Oh, but the onion loaf.
Right. Well, you know, at a certain point, you give up the delicious Hackney burger and onion loaf for the ouzo.
What are we down to? One Hackney's now?
No.
Yeah, there's one.
They closed down Lake Zurich. I know they closed down.
There's one in, like, Glenview or.
There's one on Lake.
Well, there's one in Glenview on Harms, and then there's right. the other one on Lake still open.
There's yes. one on LaGrange Road.
The one on Milwaukee
Road.
Got shut down.
LaGrange Road and Palis, I think, is still around.
Yes, there's at least three. By the way, Hackney's came this close to being an answer on the knee game.
Oh, yeah, you did it. Harry Tynowitz did a knee game in honor of my knee replacements. Which I'm finished talking about because I've moved past it. When Bill comes back on Friday, I'm not even going to bring it up. I mean, I'm going to be 5 weeks tomorrow. I'm sick of talking about it. I want to just get
back
to
normal. Are you allowed to talk about knees in general?
I could.
Or just not your knee?
No, I can do that.
Because, you know, has anyone seen the I, Tonya movie yet?
Yes. And boy, Allison Janney, an answer on your knee game, just was an amazing actress in it. Did you see it?
You know, I looked at my wife when the movie was over, and that movie really did hit me because you realize how much talent Tonya had.
But you didn't know it until that movie was made.
But she was so good. Talented, but everything that was going on off the ice in her life,
was
I mean,
horrendous.
It just destroyed her.
And it did. And
mental abuse, physical abuse.
And to see I didn't realize she was one of the few athletes that could do the triple.
She was the first one to land it, right?
Okay, well then, why was there any question about her being in the Olympics? Because she looked trailer trashy and was not the face that the Olympics
She was not the princess.
It
Nancy
is so
Kerrigan
horrible.
Was the princess. You know, it's interesting though. Because
Why?
I know.
I actually went and interviewed, and we'll have a video posted on WGN.com soon. I went and interviewed the main coach for Gracie Gold. And I talked to him, you know, about this sport, and I'm watching the girls skate around. And let's face it, I mean, to get to that level, you have to have money. You have to, you know, there's a lot of ice time you got to buy. So it does tend to go to more, you know, wealthy people. And
yeah,
you know,
but the mom, Allison Janney, was keeping up by working two jobs and spending the rest on cigarettes. And really, I watched it with my 18-year-old, and after it was over, I said, "Don't ever complain on me being a bad mom." Okay, because I could be so much worse. My language was very similar to Tonya Harding's mom, but I was a little nicer to my kids in their time of need.
We're very proud in Evanston of Shanti Davis, who's going back to the Olympics, speed skater.
Brian Hansen of Glenview going back as well. I'm trying to line up an interview with Brady from Buffalo Grove. She's from Carpentersville, the figure skater Brady Tinnell.
If you don't count like the 1980 Olympic upset of Russia, maybe my favorite Olympic athlete is Bonnie Blair from here in the great state of Illinois.
Sure.
Dominated.
And it's her facility up in Milwaukee where they're training for speed skating right now, correct?
Yeah, and her family would always sing "My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean" afterwards. It was so seriously, they would, and it was so cool. And she was like this level-headed, you know, kid. All these other kids get so full of themselves in the Olympics, and Bonnie Blair was just real the whole time. And I, you know, 20 years later, I still remember how cool she was.
One of the coolest local stories here going into these Olympic Games, though, is the Norgi Ski Club in Fox Lake. It's right at 22 and 14. They could potentially have 3 to 4 guys from Cary, from Barrington, from Crystal Lake, all Olympians for the U.S.
Really?
Ski jumping. And you think to yourself, they would be from Steamboat, would be from, you know, wherever. They do it all year long. We went out, we did some testing on it. It you know, as long as they spray down this kind of like plasticky hay with water, it creates a friction that's very, very similar to the ice and snow they deal
with. Look at that.
And they can do it all year long.
You know, the movie Molly's Game is out now, not eligible for any awards yet, I believe. Actually, Jessica Chastain was nominated the other night, so it is. But Molly's Game is a true story about a woman who was a favorite to get to the Olympics, and she got hurt, and she found herself eventually running the most expensive illegal poker game that there was in America. And DiCaprio and Ben Affleck used to play in it all the time, and royalty would play in it. And Molly's Game is very, very good. Kevin Costner's great as the dad. There was a girl from New Trier who was a backup goalie on the women's Olympic team, Sarah Teeting. And I tried like asking her out, and she shot me down. And my friend Spike's like, I mean, you bummed out. You can't be surprised that she turned you down. I'm like, no. It's a woman from Nutrier, you know.
Sure.
I spent 4 years getting turned away by them. So
sure.
Goalie doesn't faze me at all.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I'm seeing the promos and the women
hockey player. Kendall Coyne, hockey player from Palos Hills.
Yeah, we should talk to her on the phone. We should get her on the air.
I hope to just learn how to pronounce the place they're having it in by the time the Olympics
Pyongyang.
Start.
This is going to be a very, very difficult Olympics for a lot of people. A, because there are not NHL players this year, so that's going to turn a lot of people off. B, these games are going to happen at 2 in the morning. And, you know, with these cell phones, I mean, we have this discussion every year. Should we hold back on giving people information? No, they've got the information.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you can watch it if you choose to.
Just because we say someone wins gold, that's not going to make you not want to watch it, you know, when they do the primetime special. You probably will want to watch it because that person won gold.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting in for Judy. Always a pleasure. And set me up with those cookies because I got to get out of here.
Okay. Where'd that 20 go?
I still have it waving around. I need to see. I have to make my choices.
All
right. Ryan Burrow in for Judy Pilak. Harry Tynowitz, let's close up shop when we come back after this commercial break. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Harry Tynowitz has been sitting in for Bill Leff. We gave an extra 3-4 minutes today, so we should get some overtime pay.
I had so much fun. Thanks to you, to Bill, and of course, Jasmine. A lot of cool today. Very fun.
Very fun. And Bill is returning on Friday. He's at a toy symposium in Paducah, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. He's
Kansas or wherever it is.
He's illegally smuggling Lickamade back into the state.
I bet he is.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Pilak's going to sit in with me tomorrow. And again, Harry, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to see you.
It's my pleasure, Wendy. I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you very much. I need you.
Aha.
Thanks for listening. See you, Harry.
See you, Wendy.